there any treats left? Too late. I'm sorry. Well, it's we tried to get here. We've tried a couple times to get here, and I'll just be honest with you. There's some real disappointed folks in the Heath household when we try to get here and can't, because our hearts are never far from you. We love being in the will of God. I love pastoring. I'm a really good pester. I don't know about pastor. But I tell you what, we sure miss King Mountain, and appreciate you good folks here, your kindness and friendship to us. I tell you what, this place has been an anchor for us, and you took us in as evangelist, and we were desperate for help and needing a place to call home, and you took us in and been an anchor for us, and I sure appreciate your kindness to us, and I appreciate what the Lord's doing for us in Texarkana. They should be getting cranked up here in just a few minutes. We're an hour behind you out there, and I appreciate the Lord helping us. My first Easter Sunday there, we had 39. I was so discouraged and distraught because I didn't have any visitors, and even some of my regular folks went out of town on Easter Sunday. Going out of town on Easter, I couldn't believe it. I said, this is the day you're supposed to be at your church. Anyway, but the Lord helped us. We had 85 last Sunday, and if my bus ministry that we've got going hadn't took a dive and half of them didn't show up and a couple families went out of town, I would have been over 100. And so backsliders that we've been working on for 2 years came out and had some sinners in the altar praying last Sunday. And so I give God the glory for it. And I appreciate what he's doing for us. It's good to be here with Brother John Burdine. My kids were thrilled when they found out they was going to get to go to Kids Crusade. Hallelujah. And Brother John and Sister Dana were just out our way not long ago and preached for us on a Sunday. And did a wonderful job and got him scheduled to come back and preach a revival for us someday if the Lord tarries. But I tell you what, we're in this together, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
And there's so many things I wished I could say and had time to say. I don't feel like I'm doing it justice today. But we are thrilled to be here and see everybody. And trust that the Lord will help us. Had a wonderful fire conference. 5,000 people they estimate was there. And that's a pretty big crowd, I'll just tell you. And a wonderful meeting, and I appreciate the fact. Boy, I tell you, you get all those folks together, and they probably had 10 different combinations of a band up there at different times with bass players and drummers and piano players. And I never noticed it take a dip at all. Seemed like they just kept it on up there. And we are a talented people. Did you know that? Some of us are. Some of us ain't. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you what, Brother John, you know one reason why I like Brother Burdine? He's an humble guy. Usually guys that like to toot their own horn aren't very humble, but he is. Hallelujah. I just love him. I had to throw that in there. Praise God. All right, we need some preaching this morning. I trust that the preacher will come. I really would love to help you today. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 18. Matthew, chapter 18. You know, time has a way of changing some things. And I look around today, and time has changed things around here. And I told Brother John, it's been a year and a half almost since we were here. And I'd say a third of this crowd I'm having a hard time recognizing. Or a fourth, maybe, or something like there, new faces. And it's good to make your acquaintance. But I'm glad for all the ones we are acquainted with being here today. It's even good to see old Joe back there. Good to see you, Brother Joe. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 18. When the Lord dealt with me about this message, that was right during a time while I was seeking the Lord at the beginning of the year. And I was walking into church one day on a Tuesday afternoon, just praying, trying to get the mind of the Lord for our Tuesday night service. And out of nowhere, the Lord just dropped this into my heart and preached it. And we had a glorious move of God that night. And people that had been carrying some things for 30 and 40 years prayed through and got victory over them and never been the same since. And I'd love for that to happen today. But I felt in prayer just a few days after that, the Lord deal with me that wherever I went this year, I needed to try to preach this. And I thought I was going to get out of it here, but I didn't last night as I got to praying. I want to try to help somebody today if I can, and I trust he'll help us. Read with me, if you will, from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 21. The Bible said, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto you, or unto thee, until seven times, but I say not unto," let's get this right now, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest of me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." I want to preach today, if the Lord will help me, on forgiven and forgiving. Forgiven and forgiving. As we observe the context of our reading today, Jesus has just concluded a very lengthy discourse in response to a question. The question was, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It's in this response of Jesus that we really, he shares some great spiritual truths that we all need to know. And there's no time today for me able to even go back and to expound on any of them at all. But after this discourse of Jesus, Peter decides he's got a question. And he brings up this question here in verse number 21. And notice the subject of Peter's question. He said, he brings up this question concerning forgiveness. All right? I want today to look at this question of Peter and spend some time dealing with it. The Lord would help us. And there's no way in one sermon that we have time today to be able to comprehensively cover this thought and this theme of forgiveness. There's no way. But as the Holy Ghost deals with us and leads us today, I trust that we can deal with it in an effective way to be able to help someone, amen, move to the altar and deal with some things in their lives. Notice, if you will, the question. Notice the questioning of the Savior here in verse 21. The Bible says, Peter said to him, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" Now notice here the number of forgiveness that Peter brings up. He said, "How oft shall I do it till seven times?" I read after one man that said that it's possible, and they do believe there were rabbis in Israel in this day that were teaching this in the synagogues, that you were required to forgive your brother if he would trespass against you seven times. Amen. And so that's probably the reason why that Peter brings up that number. So am I supposed to forgive him when my brother sins against me? You see, my friend, the thing that we need to understand is that our brother will sin against us every once in a while. If you've never been offended, if you've never been hurt, if you've never had any troubles like that you had to get over, well, you've just not lived long enough, so I know. Because eventually there's going to come a time, amen, even children know what it's like, amen, to be offended and to be hurt by someone's words. I know there's the old childhood saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But how many knows that's the biggest lie that's ever been conjured up? Amen, because there's been lots of times, amen, that I would much rather if somebody just hit me, amen, than to talk to me like they did. I'd have much rather just been, I'd rather abused it with a stick or with a stone than I would to have endured the scrutiny and the hurt and the pain inflicted by someone's words and someone's actions against me. But listen, my friend, if you're here today and you're trying to figure out how in the world, amen, can I go to church and be among holiness people and still get hurt like I have? Well, amen, all I can tell you, amen, is people are people no matter where you find them at. Oh, come on now. And even though we claim to be saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, how many knows that not everybody that claims to be saved and Holy Ghost filled always acts like it? And sometimes we say things we shouldn't say, do things we shouldn't do, amen, and treat our brothers and sisters in ways we should not. And Peter is concerned with this and said, how often do I forgive them? Do I forgive them seven times? And the scripture doesn't say it, but when I read this, I can't help but feel as I read this, Brother Jeremy, amen, that Peter thought he was really stretching it out there for him that day. Amen. Do we really have to forgive them seven times? Hallelujah. Oh yeah. The fact is, Peter must have had somebody in his life, amen, that offended him in a way, and it wasn't just one time, but it had been two, three, four, five, six times. And Peter said, do I really have to forgive him time and time again? Do I have to keep forgiving him for saying he's got a temper, amen, he's always flying off at the handle and saying things he shouldn't say, and do I have to forgive him every time he does it? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I know that individual has a tendency to gossip and tell things that aren't true, and now they've done it to me time and time again. Do I have to forgive them every time they do it? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I know they've hurt my feelings. I know they all they think about is themselves. I know that they're just consumed with their own things, and I know they always push me aside and offend me and hurt me and say bad things to me, but do I have to forgive them every time they do it? But then notice not what Jesus says here. He said, "I say not unto thee seven times, but until 70 times seven." Oh, listen now, we see here not the number of forgiveness, but really the nature of forgiveness. Jesus' response was not about the number. That doesn't mean that we keep record, amen, and say, okay, that's 489 times, one more time, pal, amen, and you've crossed the line. Oh, come on now. Amen. No, he wasn't saying it's not 490 times. Jesus, amen, is not prescribing a number of forgiveness. He is describing to us the nature of forgiveness. It's not about a certain number. Amen. Really, what Jesus is setting forth here is the principle of a limitless forgiveness. Amen. That every time that we're offended, even if it's the same offender, and even if it's the same offense, we are to forgive those that hurt us, and we are to forgive those that do despite against us. In fact, you go back to the Beatitudes, amen, those things that we need to practice in our lives, amen. Jesus even set forth the principle there, amen, to do good to them that despitefully use you, amen. Well, he's setting forth the nature of forgiveness, but then notice what he does here, amen. He transitions from this question, and he gives a parable here, and he describes a quandary of this servant. And here's where I want to focus our attention for a little while today. Amen. Jesus, dealing with forgiveness, he reminds us of our own need of forgiveness. Notice what he says here. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. Notice the reality of this man's debt in verse 24. He owed him thousands of talents, or 10,000 talents. Listen to me now. Amen. In our terminology, this man in essence owed his king millions of dollars. It was a debt so high that this man could never pay it back. He had sinned against his king. He had racked up an amount of debt that there was no way in this lifetime or two others that this man would ever be able to pay back that debt. He was in over his head with no escape out of that pit of debt. He was a sinner against his king with no remedy to fix it. There was no means that he could obtain to be able to pay back this debt. It's a reminder today of our own sin debt. For how many knows that everyone here today, all of us were in debt to the king, if you will. All of us had a sin debt on our life that we could never pay back. Amen. We were not born saints. We were born into sin. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin was on our record. And there's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that I could have done to ever get forgiveness for that debt. It was a debt that I could never pay back. If I had this world's economy at my disposal, I could not rid myself of the debt of sin. There's no way I could ever be good enough, amen, to outdo the bad that was in my life. I know there's some that spend their life in charity and doing good works and being honest and upright, and they feel as if that they're living good enough that God will let them walk right into heaven. But listen, my friend, you cannot be good enough to be saved, for our goodness, our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And if you could, amen, put enough good deeds on this side to outweigh the bad deeds on that side, how many knows the bad is still there? But I'm reminded of the words of John the Baptist on the banks of the Jordan River that day when he looked and he saw someone coming, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. This servant was in debt over his head, and notice the verdict that came down from the king. Amen. He is to be put in prison. Amen. He is to be sold. Amen. man to pay back the debt. Amen. He was facing the judgment of the king because of the debt that he owed. Amen. The reality of the debt and the retribution for his debt. Amen. The law stated that if a man could not pay back the debt, then he was to be sold into slavery. Amen. To pay back that debt. Hence we have that story in 2 Kings chapter number 4 where the Bible said that woman came to Elisha and said, "My husband, thy servant is dead, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." The law gave the right to the creditor to come and take the children. Amen. And take the one who owed the debt to work back to pay it. Amen. This man was being sold into slavery and receiving the judgment of the king upon him for his sin debt. Can I tell you that's exactly, amen, where we were when God had mercy upon us. I said that's exactly where we were had. If it was not for the mercy of God, we would have experienced the judgment of God already. The fact of the matter is today that this servant, amen, he cried out to the king in mercy. I love this picture here. For this man humbles himself down. The Bible said he fell down and he worshiped him saying, "Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all." Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Aren't you glad today for a God in heaven, amen, that has compassion upon a sinner? Aren't you glad today that the Lord had mercy upon you? I said, oh, help me, Lord, today. I said, aren't you glad today that God has had mercy on us? For if we had gotten what we deserved, we would be in hell already. But it was the mercy of God that has kept us from dying and going to hell. And it's the grace of God. I said, it is the grace of God, amen, that has given us the privilege and the right to be here this morning in the house of God. And we can enjoy the forgiveness of the Lord. I said right here today at King Mountain, we're experiencing and we're enjoying the presence of the Lord. Amen. Because we have been forgiven. I said we have been forgiven. Oh, that we do not lose the wonder of His forgiveness. I said, oh, that we would not lose the wonder of His forgiveness. I said, oh, that we would not lose the wonder of His forgiveness. Because it's what's brought us to this day. Right now, we are forgiven. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. I said, we are forgiven. Amen. But hear me today. Hear me today. Oh, before we can go on and talk about forgiveness, we must look back. We must look back, Brother Jeremy, and remember how we have been forgiven. But notice, if you will, not only the quandary of the servant, but then notice this quarrel that was so sad. Because he leaves the presence of the king. The very one who's granted him forgiveness. The very one that showed him mercy. The very one that has loosed him of his debt and set him free. And he leaves his presence. Walks out from that throne room. Out into society. And he is quickly faced with someone who owes him. Whew, help me, sweet Lord. One who owes him far less than what he owed himself to the king. Oh, I hope you're listening to me today. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I said, so he owed him so much less than what he himself owed the king. And yet he so quickly forgets the forgiveness that he has been shown. And he sees this man that owes him 100 pence. Pennies on the dollar for what he owed himself. I said just a small fraction of what he owed himself. And he sees this fellow servant. It was not someone underneath him. It was not someone that he had some seniority over. It was not someone that was below his position. Brother Ross, it was a fellow servant. It was one of his own. It was one of his brothers, if you will. It was one of those that he worked beside. Amen. And lived beside. Amen. That owed him so little. But he forgot the forgiveness that he was shown. And notice what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible said, amen, he grabbed a hold of him. Oh, help me, sweet Lord. Where's it at? Amen. So when his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him. Sounds like he did the same thing. His fellow servant did the same thing that he had done himself. He had humbled himself and said, have mercy on me. I know this man was not trying to get out of it. This man was taking responsibility for it. Have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Oh, but look what this man does. And he would not. I missed something here. Lord, help me. I'm missing it. It's what I'm trying to find right here. And I just saw it. When he saw him, he took him by the throat. You got to be kidding me. Here's a man that has just been forgiven of thousands of talents, millions of dollars. This man owes him 100 pence. Come on now. And he catches him by the throat. Oh, help me, sweet Lord. See the picture? There's a hurt there. There's something there he hasn't got over. Oh, help me, sweet Lord. In anger and hatred, he reaches out and grabs a hold of this man and said, you better pay me, Bubba. Oh, come on now. Amen. Oh, isn't it amazing that we can come into the presence of the King, stand here where we know, amen, his grace is sufficient, be right here where we've experienced his presence, oh, help me, sweet Lord, be right here and feel his touch in the service, feel his love on our soul, be reminded of the cross of Calvary, where Jesus, being our example, looked at those people that with hatred and murderous hate, amen, grabbed a hold of him and nailed him to a cross and are spewing out such venom in his direction, and yet Jesus looked at them and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. To leave the presence of a king like that, I said, here we are today, and you come in this service this morning, and you come in, and I'm not saying you're backslid. I'm not so, hell hit me, sweet Lord. Some of you may be. You can come in and you can recognize his presence. You even raise your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. But then you turn around, and before you get out the door, you're confronted with someone who hurt you and done spite unto you, and you can't even shake their hand. And if you could, you'd do just like this man did. You'd choke them. You mean you just came from the presence of the King? Oh, God. Thanking him for his touch and his forgiveness for your sin? A sin you can never pay back? A sin you can never get beyond? Where if you got what you deserved, you'd already be in hell burning right now? And then somebody said something unkind? And listen, I'm not trying to minimize your hurt. Because I do realize that people can be very ruthless and they can do some things that absolutely feel like a knife going in your back. Oh, come on now. I have experienced it myself when I knew I was being knifed and betrayed and slaughtered. Oh, come on now, by someone.
someone who was supposed to be my brother, with someone who was supposed to be my fellow laborer, with someone who I was supposed to be shouting with and working with and going to heaven with, only to find out they betrayed me, only to find out they hurt me, and only to find out they lied to me and lied on me. I'm not minimizing it. Amen. But knowing what we owed, knowing how we've been forgiven, knowing the touch of God on our life, then to leave that place of prayer and walk out the door and see someone and turn the other way and refuse to speak to them and refuse to talk to them and refuse to shake their hand. Listen, my brother. Amen. You're in a very dangerous place. There's something got a hold of you. I said there's something that got a hold of you that is consuming you. I said there is something that got a hold of you that's consuming you. And if you don't get victory over it, it's going to take you completely out of the house of God.
The servant's actions. Hear me now. The debt owed to him was minute to the debt he owed. Sometimes what's hard for us to handle, hear me now, is when we see those that have hurt us seemingly go on and prosper, and it looks like they've never been chastened or rebuked or disciplined or judged for what they did to us. And we can't get over the fact that we're dealing with this pain and we're dealing with this hurt, and they have mocked and made fun of our own character, and then they turn from there and go on and live as if that they're blessed and prospering, and we can't hardly handle it. We can't hardly get over it. In all reality, we would like for them. One reason we can't hardly keep victory is because every time we see them, we would like for them to feel the same hurt we felt. We would like for them to be inflicted with the same pain that we've had to deal with because of their actions. We feel justified in our hatred. For my friend, that's what it is. Oh, I don't hate nobody, preacher. Listen, my friend, you need to reevaluate it. If you're not forgiving, if you're holding them accountable still for what they said and they've done, and you turn from them, will not shake their hand, and you will not befriend them. Come on now. Amen. Listen, I'm not saying you have to be bosom buddies. Come on now. I'm not saying that you have, man, those relationships when they're mired with those kinds of hurt, amen, the sad reality is they may never be what they once were. Amen. But you hear what I'm telling you. Amen. You better be careful of what you're holding on to, because that hurt, when it is not healed, amen, turns into bitterness, and bitterness grows until it becomes hatred, and hatred will cause you to react in ways that are completely, directly contrary, amen, to the plan and the will and the word of God. I'm trying to help somebody today. God will deal justly with his people, and sin will not be overlooked in eternity. Just because it looks like they're getting by with it now does not mean they'll get by with it forever. You leave that up to God. I said you leave that recourse up to God and let him handle it. Amen. You are not responsible for what they say, and you are not responsible for what they do. You're not going to stand before God and give an account for their actions, but you are going to stand before God and give an account for what you said and what you did and how you responded. And if you have responded with bitterness and hatred, my friend, when you get to eternity, I don't care how faithful you are in paying your tithes. I don't care how faithful you are to the house of God. I don't care how much you back the pastor, and you better be doing all of that. But if there's an issue in your heart, a source of bitterness and hatred in your soul, you better get over it, my friend. You better let go of it, because it will eat like cancer from the inside out. I've observed at times those
who offended someone else. Pray, get forgiveness, and go on and live a blessed, victorious life. And those that they offended, never forgive and end up getting bitter and backsliding. And people say, well, that one that hurt them is going to answer for that for God one day. They may already have with his conviction and repented of it at an altar and got victory over it. But that's no excuse for what you're doing. I said, that's no excuse for what you're doing. Because listen, my friend, I know it's not fair in this life. But you listen to me. You don't have the right. And God has not placed it in our ability to be able to justify the records in this life. He's the one that's keeping the records. And you're going to have to answer to him. We may not understand it, but I'm not responsible for what they did. But I am responsible for my own heart, for my own reaction. Hear me today. Oh, help me, sweet Lord. Can I read something to you? I read this quote. We are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. We are most like God when we forgive. You listening to me? I said we're most like beast when we kill. We're most like men when we judge. We're most like God when we forgive. Listen to me. Forgiveness, Archibald Hart. James Dobson quoted him, and love must be tough. Archibald Hart said, forgiveness is surrendering my right to hurt you for hurting me. Did you hear that? Forgiveness is surrendering my right to hurt you for hurting me. Is there somebody that you can think of right now that when you see them, there's still that in your heart for what they said and what they did? If there is, my friend, you've got something you need to get prayed through today. Say, preacher, but they've trampled on me. They've trampled and stomped on my heart. And it hurts so bad. Stephen, talk to us today for just a moment, would you? Did they hurt you? Did they stone you? Did they kill you? Bible said they gnashed on him with their teeth. You talking about getting hurt. What did he do? Just preaching the gospel? Just doing what's right? And that's what you're having such a hard time dealing with. Preacher, I'm trying to do the best I've ever done in my life. And then they say this. Then they did that. I'm just trying to get to heaven, preacher. Why are they doing this to me? Why did they say that about me? Man, Stephen, all he's done is preach the gospel. Amen. But notice the reaction here. They stoned him. Amen. They gnashed on him in Acts chapter 7, verse 44. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But in verse number 55, that's where, in verse 56, that's where he looked up into the heavens. Amen. And who did he see? Amen. Right in the middle of the stones flying, right in the middle of their hurt and their wrath being poured out on him, he looks up into heaven and there he sees Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And the Bible said he was standing. Now we know from Paul's epistle, amen, that Jesus is ever at the right hand of the Father, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. But that's not where Stephen saw him. Amen. When Stephen stood for Jesus, amen, Jesus stood for him. Hallelujah. And it gives us great comfort and consolation knowing that Jesus will stand for us when we stand for him. him. But notice as the stones were flying in verse number 59 of Acts chapter number 7. If you got your Bible, I want you to look at it. Amen. Acts chapter number 7. Help us, sweet Lord, today. Amen. Verse number 56, I believe. Amen. 59. Amen. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. Hear his words. The stones are flying. His life is leaving him. He's becoming a murderer. And he kneeled down and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Until you can look at that individual and pray to God and say, Lord, don't even write that one down. You've not really forgiven. Did you hear what I said? Until you can pray to God and say to him, Lord, that one that talked about me, that one that hurt me, that one that tried to kill me, that betrayed my trust and confidence, don't even write that one down, Lord. They may have sinned against you other ways, and that's up to you. But as far as them hurting me, just don't even write that one down, Lord. Don't count that one. Until you can get that attitude, you've really not forgiven. What motivated that forgiveness? I'm thankful that he saw Jesus standing, but it could be, my friend, that when he saw him standing and the stones were flying, he saw the nail prints and he remembered the Savior. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. How about it today? How about it today? Have you forgiven? And here's what we got to get to. Here's where the rubber meets the road as I close. Here's where the rubber. So likewise. Shall my, now remember that servant that would not forgive when the king heard it. You see, God knows you better than you know yourself. And when the king heard it, he called that servant back, sent him to the tormentors until the debt was paid. And Jesus says to his disciples, he says to Peter, how many times am I supposed to forgive, Lord? Till seven times? No, I'll tell you how you're to forgive every time. Because if you don't, Jesus said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. If you will not forgive, you cannot be forgiven. You want to know one of the things, boy, it's going to get quiet right here. But you want to know one of the things that makes divorce so grievous? It's because, and I'm not an expert on this, but on most divorce cases I've heard about, they had to sign their name on that line where they say and testify to the fact that it was irreconcilable differences. I can't forgive them for what they did there. I can't get over that. I can't get beyond that. And so I go to the judge and I say, Judge, I can't forgive them. And so I'm going to get loose of this vow. Can you forgive them? Not with your lips. Not with your words. But from your heart. Can you forgive them? Who is that source? Who is that one that needs to be forgiven? I done told you that one that you, when you see them coming down this aisle in Walmart, you go down that aisle.
that one, whenever you see them come and sit on this side of the church, you go sit on that side of the church. That one, when they're praying for them at the altar, you just go duck your head in the pew somewhere because you don't want God to bless them. They're just a hypocrite. If people really knew what they said to me, they wouldn't have confidence in them. And it's amazing to me the people we have in this hour that get offended at the preacher. They misunderstand the preacher. They misunderstand his leadership. And they get offended at the preacher because they misunderstand him. And they say, I don't have confidence in that preacher. You listen to me today. If the pastor took offense and did not forgive every time people hurt him, we wouldn't last to the next Sunday. Because, see, even some of my, I'm only pastored 2 years, so I'm not an expert. But, brother, I already know some of my best people have been some of the ones that's hurt me the most. And if I took it personal, I wouldn't be able to go and put my arm around them when they've been hurting and say, we're going to pray this through together.
We're going to get this done. That's right.
Yeah, come on now. How many knows we got to forgive? We use the term forgive and forget. Really, the only one that's mastered that is Jesus. Some things the devil won't let us forget. I read about it. I'm closing with this. I know we need to pray. But I read several accounts, and I was studying for this message. I read of one account where a preacher, his mother was murdered. Someone had broke in to the house, didn't realize she was home, and in the shock and in the surprise of that night, he murdered this woman. This man did. This preacher's mother. He said, when I came to the scene that night, my mother laying there dead. He said, that baseball bat that I saw laying there against the wall, I wanted to grab it. I wanted to take it to where that man was, and I wanted to beat his brains out. He said, but I knew that that was not the Spirit of Christ. And he said, the only way I could deal with it is I had to try to empathize with the murderer. I tried to put myself in his shoes. And I realized it wasn't his intention. He got caught up in the moment, surprised, shot. And one thing led to another. He said, that's the only way I was able to deal with it. He said, but God got to dealing with me. He said, they granted me the opportunity to go and sit down and speak with my mother's murderer. He said, when I got there, he said, I had a few questions that I wanted to ask about that night. And after he answered my questions, I looked at that young man and I said, I forgive you and you need to be saved. And I want to share with you the forgiveness of Jesus and how he's forgiven me. And he ended up winning that young man to the Lord. He developed a relationship with him. I said he developed a relationship with that young man. Amen. Went to bat for that man when his parole came up. Amen. Was able to help that young man win parole. And after that young man got out of prison, amen, he was there. Amen. And married that man. Amen to his sweetheart. Amen. Forgiveness, my friend. I said supernatural forgiveness. You say, I could never do that. I'm telling you today, that's grace, my friend. You can't do it by yourself. I said, you can't do it by yourself, but there's grace available. I said, there's grace available today, even where you can look right into the eyes of your murderer and be able to forgive them, or you can look right in the eyes of your offender and say, I forgive you. I feel
like there's somebody in this house today that the Holy Ghost is speaking to, and you realize, amen, there's something in my life that I've got to get over. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I felt the burden of this throughout the night last night. Oh, God, help us today.